Kings and Thunder. Kings with four games left. Still a wide range of possibilities as to how this thing ends. You got Drapes in San Francisco, Jay and I here in Sacramento. And again, before we go any further, I have to come to the defense of Kyle Draper.
Because got his back today.
Yes.
Yo, why? What's going on?
Because you just said you were talking about, hey, I work for Vivek. I bleed green, and you gave the money sign.
Oh, I said green?
Yeah. Well, Izzy says, Drape says he bleeds green. Get him out of here.
That was the money sign,
that was
man.
The money sign. Is that what you meant? Like green, like you bleed green. Like
No, I'm not. It came out wrong.
Okay.
I bleed purple. We know that. Yeah, I bleed. And that's my years of Boston. That was a mistake. That slipped out. And that's their motto, actually, bleed green in Boston. And I've said it for so many years. And so it's not green as in money. It's green. It, you know, I said it green as in Boston, but we know I bleed purple, man. Come on now. There's no question about Drapes. Y'all may try to back me into a corner or anything like that. But when they lose, who's the one that's more heartbroken than anybody? When they win, who's more excited than anybody? So don't even come at me like that.
Right. Well, now. I thought you didn't realize you made a mistake.
Thought he was Ted DiBiase.
Yeah. I know. You're like, I believe.
I am all about the paper. You know that. I am all about the paper.
Let's go to TC. It's time for Check
Mike
It
check.
With TC on Sacktown Sports.
What's up, TC? Let's check it, man.
Yeah.
Whitey, Drake, JJ in the back. Y'all got me?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, we're going to keep it real short and sweet, so check it out. Hey, the reason why Domas and Fox aren't getting calls, because they're too laid back. First and foremost, you got 1,000 pump fakes when you're 2 feet under the basket. If you start dominating, like, sending in the post like old school Shaq, Akeem, like, give me the ball in the post, and I'm going up, I guarantee you he'll get fouled. But if you always get into the paint passing, the referees is like, why in the heck am I going to give you foul calls, bro? You're just super passive. You look in the pass. Also, Fox, if you keep running up and down the court all game, arguing at the refs about a foul, bro, they're not going to give you nothing. If you throw, like you said, if you throw your body and use your body Drapes, those two dudes will get more foul calls. Also, hey, I'm all for it. Like, we're too laid back. We need a guy that's like, say, like, going out New York, dressing up. I'm not talking about Kyle Kuzma. I'm not talking about getting into the media causing problems like a Draymond. But we talking about, man, you need guys to stand out like that. We need some guys that's going to stand out. Like, the only guy we got like that is Malik. Everybody else is taking this HB, super laid back, super like, I'm not really tripping off anything, bro. We need people with an attitude. That's what I got from that situation. But as far as the foul calls, Domas and Fox will never get foul calls, bro, until they change how they approach the game. Fox crying with the refs all game, and Domas getting inside the paint, looking to pass all the time. That's all I got.
There's CC.
Win by seven.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, TC. Think about Domas and all the pump fakes, Drapes. They work. I mean, he's effective. He scores a lot that way. So that's one reason why I'd be reluctant to say, oh, too many pump fakes. I mean, he's very effective with his pump fakes. Yeah. So, as far as De'Aaron Fox, I do agree that De'Aaron Fox has maybe gotten a little too bothered by some of the calls that aren't going his way. It's understandable if the officials are calling the game a certain way, as we think they have for most of the year, then all of a sudden they're calling things differently. Well, that has helped the Kings defensively, but he's not the only one. Luka has also talked about it. Luka, when he was here, in fact, said, yeah, it's a little more difficult than it was, but it does seem to be something that has gotten into De'Aaron Fox's head a little bit, Drapes.
Yeah, and I get it, and I understand it, and it's heard your point. You know, on the other end, it's helped the Kings out, right? You know, they can be more physical. They can really get up into guys. They can really challenge guys on the other end. But then if De'Aaron Fox isn't getting the calls, and I'm looking at some of the numbers here, Whitey, since the All-Star break, well, since, let's say, the last 19 games, De'Aaron Fox is averaging 4.1 free throw attempts per game. 4.1. That's not going to get it done. Now let me do the math on before the All-Star break. Here, the splits here before the All-Star break. And remember, he's averaging 5 0.8 free throw attempts per game. And so clearly before the All-Star break, those numbers were way up. Here we go. Since the All-Star break, let me see, do that math. Free throw attempts, 313. Hold on for a sec. Let me get this here. Math was my strong suit, but not on this this topic here.
It's hard when you're under the gun, right, when you're trying to do a couple different things at once. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So his first 48 games, he was taking 6.5 free throw attempts. 6.5. And since the All-Star break, when things have changed, De'Aaron Fox is averaging 4.2. That's 2.5 fewer free throw attempts per game. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And I get it. The NBA is trying to figure it out, but that's messed up, man. That's really messed up.
And he's talked about that a lot in post game, and he's tried to control his temper about it, but he says, look, we can pretend they're not calling it differently, but they are, and you can see on the court it's really become an issue for him. Obviously, going forward, he's going to have to figure out how to deal with it, right? I mean, officiating is like the weather. You can't change the weather, but you can change if you're going to wear a sweatshirt or a t-shirt. You have to adjust to the weather, just like players have to adjust to the officiating, whatever it is.
Yeah, you got it, and it's you would hope, Whitey, it's for everybody, you know? And we do know superstars get calls, certain teams get calls. We understand that. But you would think that everybody would have to adjust. I want to do a little deep dive here and look at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's numbers, because this is a guy we're going to see tonight. We talked earlier about how much he gets to the free throw line. And you know, he's one of the league leaders. He leads the league in free throws made per game. And so when I look at how the officiating has affected him so far this season, in the games before the All-Star break, as I pull it up right here, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander averaged 9.1 free throw attempts per game. 9.1 free throw attempts per game. Since the All-Star break, guys, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, hopefully his numbers went down just like De'Aaron Fox. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's free throw attempts, 7.2. He's down almost two free throws a game. That's interesting. I don't know if I like these new rules, man. I don't know. Because we can't have it both ways. Here's the thing. We can't say on one hand, it's great, it allowed the Kings to play defense, and then the other hand, darn, our guy's not getting the foul calls, De'Aaron Fox. It's like, I wish there was a win-win, right? Can we play great physical defense and still get the foul calls?
Well, let's talk to a guy that played in the 90s when it was legal to, you know, hit somebody in the back of the leg with a sledgehammer. He's at Mojo's getting ready for game night along with Scott Marsh. The High Flyers with us, Henry Turner. Hello, Henry.
Baby, what's good, fellas? We out here, man, at Mojo's Tapping Kitchen. And let me tell you, this place is off the chain, bro. It is nice out here. And I am looking at the finest bowl of gumbo you could ever see. KD, what? I know you're a Frisco, but you can't fade what I got going on inside.
I know, right? The Whole Foods down the street ain't going to compare to what you got going on over there, man. I'm jealous, man. I'm jealous.
Not at all, baby. What's good, man? What's happening, fellas?
Well, we got the High Flyer and Scott Marsh. We were just talking, gentlemen, about the way foul calls have changed in the NBA. It's clear that De'Aaron Fox is not getting to the line as much as he got to the line before the All-Star break, and we're just wondering, do the Kings have to sell their calls better, as Mike Brown has suggested? How is De'Aaron Fox supposed to adjust to the change in the officiating?
You know what, fellas? I would say it's one in two things. Number one, the Kings elect to shoot three-pointers. I mean, their three-point attempt has shot through the roof. The Kings are just coming down, and they like to shoot threes. It's drive and kick, all the sprays, and the majority of the Kings' shots, I remember me and Jason was tracking shots at one particular point. The Kings had shot 11 attempts. They had two attempts on the inside of the paint. The rest was from three-point area. If you're just coming down shooting threes, you're not going to get too many foul calls. And then when De'Aaron Fox does elect to go down into the paint, we know it's league-wide. They're not calling ticky-tacks no more. You have to go down there with the purpose. And back when I played, Whitey, if you went to the basket and you brought that ball back down around up under your chest, they wouldn't call it a foul for you. Hmm. You got to go to the rim strong like you really mean it and really trying to finish.
No, and that's a great point too, guys. And it's great to be on with you guys. I wish you guys were down here with us. But, you know, talking about De'Aaron, I mean, case in point, the final play in Boston, right? Has the ball 7 seconds left. He drives. He takes a fadeaway outside the key. You're not going to get that call at the very last moment of the game. So it is in part on De'Aaron to get inside and take it strong late in games.
Yeah. Drapes.
Yeah. Hold on, Whitey. I want to chime in on this because I hear what these guys are saying, and I get it, and that sounds great in a vacuum. But the real part about it is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is not taking the ball to the basket strong. He's not he is crafty at drawing fouls. And I would like to know, High Flyer and Scott Marsh, does De'Aaron need to be more crafty with it? DeMar DeRozan isn't going up strong, power, and through guys. He's crafty. And I'm looking at the league leaders in free throw attempts. Giannis, we know he's strong. Luka's not going in there strong, but he's crafty. Does De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis and those guys have to become more crafty at drawing fouls? It's an art form, High Fly.
Yes, it is, KD, and they have to be able to give up the body. I will give you a prime example, one of the smallest guys in the league, Jalen Brunson. That dude really knows how to use his body and create contact to where the referees have to call it. But I'm telling you, KD, you have to come with a purpose. You can't come down in that lane thinking you're just going to throw something up and they're going to give you a foul. You got to be able to take the contact and finish just in case they don't call that foul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a great point. I'll ask you, Drapes, and I'll ask you, Kevin, as well. How many ball fakes have you seen De'Aaron make in the post?
Exactly.
Inside the lane.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
DeMar DeRozan's the king of that. He gets you up, then he draws the foul. Like, De'Aaron just doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know, that's basketball IQ, KD, because De'Aaron has all the tools because he gets downhill. He puts so much pressure on the defense. Once he gets downhill and gets that free throw line, all he have to do is stop and pump fake and go into the dude's body, create that contact. He'll go to the free throw line every time.
Henry, you brought up how many threes the Kings are taking. We touched on this a little bit yesterday. How about this, Drapes and Scott? Since Malik Monk got hurt, now for the year the Kings are averaging 39.1 threes a game. That's for the year. But since Malik got hurt, last five games, they've shot 40, 42, 42, 51, and 48 threes. Do you think that's opponent-specific, or are they clearly trying to make up for some of the lost offense by relying more on the ball inside out, spraying the ball to those three-point shooters in the corners?
You know what, Whitey? I think right now the Kings' offense is very much predictable. When you have 75% from three and 25% going down into the paint, it makes it easy for you to be guarded. You know, the thing about it is that, you know, teams are letting the Kings come down and elect to shoot threes. And then when the threes aren't falling, they get real smart. I mean, basketball IQ, man, is a big part of the NBA. You know, it's chess. It's not checkers. If I see you're not knocking a three-point shot down, I'm going to back up. I'm going to take another step closer to Sabonis. I'm going to take another step closer to Sabonis until you knock one down. If you don't knock them down, now we got the inside taken care of. We got 4-on-1 on the rebounds. And now you're taking bad three-point shots, and we get out in transition, and we're scoring.
No, I think that's a fair point. I would also challenge, just like with De'Aaron and ball fakes, how many pick and rolls are we seeing on the floor with the Kings on a nightly basis without Malik on the floor?
Not many.
No, not at all. We're just not getting it inside to the point. And, you know, the other thing, when you listen to Mike Brown at any pregame press conference, any postgame press conference, I mean, it's a different vocabulary with the stat sheet, right? It's all about sprays. It's all about deflections. You're not looking at points, rebounds, and assists. And I think that's been harped on this team, too. They want not only a certain number of threes, they want at least 40 threes a game, according to Mike Brown. They want at least 20 sprays a game.
But here's the problem, Scott. Here's the problem. How many guys we got on this team that are, give me the ball, I'm going to break my man down, get to the middle of the paint, be able to score to keep it legitimate, and then spray out? We got Malik Monk, we got De'Aaron Fox, and Malik ain't here. Who else does that on our team? Nobody else. Everybody else on our team are the recipients from the spray.
That's a great point, High Flyer, and it's exactly what I was thinking. You know, you take a guy like Malik Monk, he's the only guy, him and De'Aaron, that really gets downhill looking to score. Everybody right. else is looking to spray it out. And so, you know, when the offense is missing one of their top penetrators, their top creators, then you become, like High Flyer said, very one-dimensional. Like, who's the only guy scoring points in the paint off the dribble? It's De'Aaron Fox. We need other guys to be able to be aggressive and look for that shot in the paint as well.
Drapes, I got a question specifically for you, if I may. What do you think here on this road trip so far? You had a loss to the Knicks that looked like it was winnable. You had whatever that Boston game was, which you could slice a million different ways, and then the win over the Nets. Did we learn any? Do we know anything more about this team after those three games than we did? What did we learn about those games that we could apply maybe to what we can expect in these next four?
Honestly, Whitey, this road trip has gone exactly how I thought it would be. You know, you can look at the 1-point loss to Boston and the day after think that it was a close game. The Celtics were in control that whole game.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum was on, it was his C game. He was on his summer league kind of game, pickup run game. And so I don't think we learned anything from this trip. I think we'll learn something tonight. This is the game. And I said it yesterday during our show. The Knicks and Celtics, I had them losing that game. That's a tough back-to-back. It is what it is.
You did.
But to go 2-2 on this trip, I think that's a positive. So you have to get tonight. And you guys know, High Flyer and Scott Marsh, 2-2 versus 1-3, it's a massive difference, especially this late in the season. So they got to get this one tonight.
No doubt, it Drapes, to your point. I mean, the Pelicans play the Trailblazers tonight. So they're going to win that game. If we lose tonight, they have the tiebreaker. I mean, at that point, the Pels would have to lose out and we would have to win out to have any chance of trying to get by them. So this game is absolutely critical tonight.
Yeah, here's the way it looks tonight. You got New Orleans at Portland, as Scott just said, Clippers at Phoenix, and the Warriors at the Lakers. So as far as the Kings go, best case here tonight, after tonight, would be a three-way mathematical tie for six with New Orleans and Phoenix, and we know tiebreakers come into play there. Worst case, you'd be in ninth all by yourself, half a game behind the Lakers. So it's going
right.
to – Henry, it's a big game tonight, obviously.
You know, it's been big games
all
the way through. And, you know, I've come on you guys' show. We have argued about where we wanted this team to be. And I told you, the play-in, I would much rather for the Kings to be in that sixth spot. This play-in is going to be tough. And when it's a one and done, man, the pressure is high.
No question. And the one thing the High Flyer always says on game night, which I've been drilled into my head over the last few years, is that every game is one out of 82. They count the same. And we're not going to look backwards, but again, we're going to be thinking, what if Portland on the road? What if Charlotte at home? What if Detroit at home? You know?
Yeah.
And that's the tough part right now if things don't work out for the Kings.
Yeah. Drapes, what can you tell us as far as, I know you've done a lot of research on this game, maybe just like one thing to watch for early on that might give an indication that the Kings are playing the type of game they want to play?
I think when you look at this OKC team, they're incredibly efficient. You know, they get into the paint with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They spray it out as well. And so I'm looking at points in the paint tonight. I'm looking at, you know, really keeping them limited. I think if you keep Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, one, out of the paint, and two, obviously, off the free throw line, I think you have a really good shot against these guys. You know, they're seventh in the league in points in the paint. We're 10th. You know, who wins that battle? This is an elite offensive team we're talking about. And then conversely, I say it time and time again, fellas, Domantas Sabonis has to be a beast tonight. When you look at his splits against Oklahoma City this year, he just demolishes these guys. He kills these guys. Against OKC, he's averaging 18.7 points, 13 rebounds, and 11 assists. He averages a triple-double, so I'm looking for Domas to clearly be the best big on the floor tonight.
Scott and Henry, how about you guys? If there's one thing you think the Kings need to do tonight?
The one thing on my table, fellas, is pace. The Sacramento Kings are going to have to play that up-tempo pace. Now, OKC, they're not a juggernaut in stopping teams. They let you score. So the Kings are going to have to get up and down. I don't want to play a half-court game with OKC. I think they win that situation. So if the Kings can get up and down, push the pace, play in transition, I think that puts them in the best possible position.
Now, I love all of that, and I think tonight with SGA being back, you've got to push him tonight. You've got to find out what he's like. I mean, OKC most likely is not bringing him back unless he's 100%, but he hasn't played in a while too. So you've got to find a way to keep him out of the paint. You've got to blitz him at times. You've got to do everything you can not to allow SGA to be the MVP of this game tonight.
Mm-hmm. Great points, of course. By the way, I'm with Drapes. If you go back to the first game they played here earlier in the year, the way Sabonis just neutralized Holmgren, that'd be an absolute key tonight. So we got game night coming up from Mojo's. Drapes, thanks. Great job. We'll talk with you tomorrow, and we'll be watching you on TV tonight.
All right, fellas. We are back in studio tomorrow. Looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, and stick around for game night. Henry Turner, Scott Marsh.
Got that bowl of gumbo. Y'all don't see it, but I do. I just got to make sure I put that
out. Really? Yeah. At Mojo's, game night next on Sacktown Sports.